The gang is all here for another episode of Macross Speaker Podcast, so welcome back to all 3.5 of our listeners, and today we've got a bumper show, like this incredible amount of content to cover, but more than that, I'm currently sitting in the middle of the Firebomber room in a karaoke bar, Ikebukuro. I've got the FB7 illustration wall size to my right. We've got an old Macross 7 illustration with fire bomb to my left, and a giant fire valve behind me. Richard, can you explain this room?
This room, it's pretty small, but there are paintings on three of the walls. Renato, where is this picture from? The old Macross 7 picture. I've seen it on a lot of, like,
It's one of the very stuff. First. Yeah, it's one of the very first promotional hanga drawings by Mikimoto.
So just a word of warning up front. You know, we have a group of people in the room next to us who have been pounding out the Frontier songs for the last half hour or so. So you might pick up some of them.
Because this is not the only Macross themed room. There are three rooms in this place that are Macross themed right now, so
it's the only one that I'm willing to go into.
It's the only one Renato's willing to go into.
Well, there's a Shiro one and a Ranka one, right? As well, right? So there's going to be a bit of ambient noise. There's going to be staff coming in serving us drinks, hopefully a lot of drinks and more drinks. And there's going to be a bit of an echo because it's not a huge room. But bear with us because we thought, you know, where better to do a Macross Speaker Podcast. And as you may have already heard, with me here today is
Richard, a.k.a. Goobaba.
Adrian, a.k.a. Save, who wishes he could be in the save who wishes he could be
in the save room.
In the save room. No. Wishes he could be in the shell room so I could stare at a black bunny Cheryl all day. But fuck you guys.
And there is no Clan Clan room.
But she's on the poster outside.
There is. And whose autographs were on that poster? There was a huge bunch of autographs on that poster from the
world. Clan's autograph is there.
Okay.
Clan's voice actress.
And so, losing his voice to my left, you can hear
Renato. I barely made it today. Oh, and I texted I was going to be 5 minutes late. You said, move your ass! And then you came 20 minutes late, so screw you!
And being 20 minutes late, that would be your sometime host of this podcast, Gwyn Campbell, aka Torture on the Forums. And with us today, we have a new guest, someone who's no stranger to the forums. So we'd like to welcome into the fold, Bansan. Bansan, welcome.
Ah, nice to see you. I'm Hiroshi Ban from Shinagawa Prefecture, Tokyo, and also known as Antibiotic Tab.
So what does Antibiotic Tab mean? Where did that name come from?
I want some meaningful, meaningless, something impressive name I want to have in the network world. When I was reading Eikaiwa, English
school textbook,
and I suddenly read antibiotics. Antibiotics. This one is so useless and so impressive. After the word of antibiotics, tablet is good for the world, and tab is I remember the word of tab in the Back to the Future movie. Tab is after the drinking eating. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can't get a tab unless you buy something. Boom.
Yeah, right. That's why And Baltic Dub is super impressive and something different from other guys' network name. So so that I use this word.
Yeah, more of an explanation than I think anyone else here has for their user handles.
Born with mine.
I repeat, a more impressive explanation than anyone else here has. So one thing we ask everyone is their history with Macross. Yeah. Now, as far as I know, you're pretty much the Macross senpai for all of us here. You've been watching Macross since the original.
Yeah. It was 1982, October. It suddenly started, and 2 p.m. I remember 2:15 or so, the anime suddenly started. Sunday 2 p.m. is not for anime programs. Why this program suddenly started? I didn't understand. But the story was so different from others. So serious anime, robot anime was widespread in Japan, especially Gundam and Ideon. Ideon is so cruel. Ideon, after watching Ideon movie, I was so surprised that so many young women and kids were killed in the movie. But
that's one of my favorite endings, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you watched it from the first ever screening.
Mm-hmm.
And so you watched it. Did you watch it all the way through the first time to the end of the series? Every episode?
About Ideon?
Macross.
Macross, so serious in Macross. Macross not so serious because some interesting jokes there. I like the scene of the Millie and Max duels in the game center. A car is chasing another car and saying, "Ojisama, Ojisama." Yeah, that is the joke of the Castle of Cagliostro, and I like that. And Idol Song was never heard in the animes, but Galaxy Express 39 in the Galaxy Express 39 a singer is singing in the movie, but it was not so hit in the Japanese box office. And Yamato 2 movie, do you remember Yamato 2? Remember?
Oh, it blew my mind.
Oh, really? Kenji Sawada sang the movie theme, ending theme, and of course, Galaxy Express 39 movie the ending theme is Godaigo.
Yeah.
These are so famous singers and rock groups in Japan, but have nothing to do with the story itself.
Right.
But the Ijima-san's song is so related to the story itself in Macross world.
Mm-hmm.
It was so interesting and so impressed for me.
So you finished the initial series and then when the first Macross finished, when the first series finished, did you think you were a Macross fan?
Yeah. Because in Japan at the time, so many Love Triangle stories in comic book, like I said before, Miyuki, and I just remembered Kimagure Oden, Orange Road, like, and others. Urusei is love triangle because Ram and Ataru and the other black.
That one's a love polygon. Mm-hmm. Love, because there are so many people involved in there, right?
So, you were a fan of Macross, and then did you see? Do you remember Love in the cinema?
Yeah, no. When I was at that time 19 years old. I missed Macross. Do you remember Love? I don't know why I didn't watch the movie at that time. My memory is so vague and obscure now, but the Urusei Yatsura movie was released at that time.
And, number two,
Beautiful Dream. Right. But it was so popular in Japan, but Macross, no, not so popular, but
Nausicaa as well, the same year.
But the everybody is talking about Macross movie was great. And after 2 or 3 years ago, after 2 or 3 years, I watched the movie in TBS or some
channel. They showed it in 1986. And I think that was either TBS or MBS.
Early 19th, I watched it in BS NHK. BS NHK, I watched many animes on BS NHK.
BS, for those who don't know, is satellite.
Broadcasting satellite. Yeah. CS is communication satellite.
So, when you finally did see Do You Remember Love, what was your impression? What did you think of it?
The story is so easy to understand and no complex, but the theme is so good because, and the setting got better because Zentradi and Mentradi has nothing to do with each other, just the enemy, and then the story got so easy to understand to the not Macross fan guys.
From my experience talking with Japanese fans, if you ask which do they prefer, TV series or Do You Remember Love, nearly everyone says Do You Remember Love, but most foreign fans I know say TV series because it's a more detailed story, a longer story, and I just find it's very interesting. Nearly all the Japanese fans prefer Do You Remember Love, because it's visually so impressive. They can't, most people I know, they don't understand why we like the TV series more.
I think a lot of it is also down to the fact that the TV series should have ended at episode 27 and it kept going. And the people that I've spoken to really are not impressed with what happened after that. But
so it's funny because I think
but the Western fans, they kind of like the realism of the post-war arc.
Well, because in the Western version you have the final showdown with Chiron or
Kaimon,
what you want to call him, or there's a showdown that you have to have in America's storytelling.
But it's in,
I mean, it's horribly, well, that episode's not so bad, but everything between,
it's not even a showdown between Chiron and a main character, really. That was,
but it ties up the loose ends, and we're all about tying up loose ends.
That's true.
That's a good point. I mean, I think most people I know find that those extra episodes on the end are what really cement. I mean, if it finished at episode 27, I think it would still be popular. Yeah. But that extra bit at the end made it unique. Yes. Because you always wonder, what happens after? Mm. You know, it's like with a zombie movie. Mm. The zombie movie always finishes after the disaster. Mm. But that's when it should get interesting. Yeah. How do you survive? But the movie always stops there.
Yeah, you're right. That is interesting. Yeah.
And that was the same. That's why Walking Dead is so popular.
Lisa, you're the new captain. You leave tomorrow.
Yes. Well, and also the last episodes really made me hate Hikaru.
Because he was still wishy-washy?
Yeah, and he's just kind of like mooning over Minmay, but still kind of stringing Nisa along. And I lost any respect for him that I had.
Yeah. I mean, well, you can... It's very difficult for me to get lost within that world that they tried to paint after the 27th episode, just because it's so obvious that they just rushed it all together.
Right.
Like the whole Broken Heart episode when Minmay and Kaifun are kidnapped and... I don't know, it's just...
Okay, well, let's...
What's the deal with Lamez and... Kamjin getting together.
Oh, that was awesome. They were doing some culture together.
I know. I like the idea, not so much the execution.
Okay. So you wanted to see more of the culture.
I might talk about that later on, since I recently bought the Blu-ray.
If you can talk, yes.
If I can talk.
Well, we'll have to see how Mikimoto illustrates that culture when they get to
right,
that part
since he's already put porn into Macross the First.
Whether or not they will get to that part of the story.
That's a good point.
Also, plus, you have the upside-down Minmay poster. Without those additional episodes, we would not have had that iconic scene.
True.
Okay. So,
also baby throwing.
Yeah.
Baby throwing,
Baby throwing. Christmas episode.
Yeah.
So Bunsan, I want to ask, after... No. You remember love. So the next Macross we got was Macross 2. And
Wayne gives a pointed look at Adrian at this point.
So I'm very curious to know what you thought of when Macross 2 came out. First of all, what was the feeling? Were the fans excited for Macross 2? Were they not excited? When you first heard about Macross 2 coming out, what did you think? What was your feeling about it?
Frankly speaking, I've never watched the Macross 2 because Macross 2 is no popular in Japan because everybody was chasing the Gundam W83 and W880 and like that, and especially City Hunter series is was so popular in Japan, and I was all of the City Hunter series and of course Nadia, the blue water, but the Macross 2 is not popular and at that time early 90s and besides I don't like Macross 7.
You don't like Macross 7?
Yeah.
But look where we are.
Yeah. But because when I watch Macross 7, of course, Sunday night 2 p.m. In Japan. Do you remember?
Sorry, I'm just laughing at these guys' ridiculous
haircuts. Just to give people some context, we've got the TV, TV in the karaoke room turned down low, but it's constantly playing promotions for anime, manga, and music.
Is that a man or a woman?
Is that a man or a woman? A whole bunch of men dressed up in very... What would you call it?
That's a woman, man.
Oh, that...
No, that's a man.
That's a very... Yeah, that's a dude.
Anyway. Guy in the bubble of time.
You might want to say what the group is called.
Golden Bomba.
Golden Bomba.
Oh!
Oh,
I know these guys. I know these guys. They sang some... they did something quite recently.
And meanwhile, the room next to us, someone's brought in a tambourine and they've picked up the noise.
Oh, we've got one too.
I don't need to... No, we do, though.
We do. I'm sorry, Banzang.
So,
Banzang,
so you're saying you don't like Macross 7?
Because when I watched Macross 7 one day, the episode of the first Macross movie remake of Basara and Vinland
Right.
Yeah.
Anime video, episode 11.
But at that time, the Minmay was not
Hyōka-sarenai. Was not
How to say in English?
Well received. Yeah, I guess wasn't well received. Are you talking about the design of Minmay?
No.
Or how she looked?
The achievement of Minmay was not the dream or
not
something.
Recognized.
Yeah, I said the impression of me for me is so disappointment at this point.
Okay.
And that's the reason why I don't like Macross 7. And I also everybody likes Macross Plus so much, but
in Japan or in the overseas
fans. Overseas and in Japan. But
Japan as well.
Yeah, as well. Yeah, but the city duel in God and Isamu is so no real thing.
Okay.
No reason to battle in this city.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't like Macross Plus. Also, I don't like Macross Plus either. But I like Macross Zero and Frontier, especially Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Because Macross Zero is like Area 88
yeah.
comic.
Right.
That's the reason why Shinkudo. Area 88, the main character is Shin Kazama, right? That's why the influence of Area 88 is so big, I think, in Macross Zero movie.
Right.
And I like Frontier so much because in episode 4, Watashi no Kare wa Pilot was sung by Ranka. I was surprised to see recognize that I could sing the song without reading lyrics.
Do you remember?
Yeah, well, I remember. Why I can I can sing this song? I don't
remember.
Yeah.
If I hear
you, yes, right.
So I find that interesting because you're an original Macross fan, and yet, would you say after, so your favorites are the original Macross and Zero and Frontier?
Yeah.
It's really interesting because I know a lot of, in the West, a lot of old Macross fans don't like Frontier that much, I think it's safe to say.
They
don't like the art style.
I would say the original camp of existing Macross fans through the past two generations, it's 50-50. They either like it or they hate it. The new fans only care about Macross Frontier. That's
the same in Japan, like as far as the new fans.
But a lot of people think that overseas there's only the old Macross fans.
Okay. That's a good point. But it's very polarizing, I suppose.
You go to Anime Expo now or anywhere else, I dare you to talk to a Cheryl cosplayer and ask them about Macross 7 or Dynamite 7. They're going to be like, yeah, right. What's that?
Right. Yeah. But still, I mean, I find it interesting we've got an original Macross fan who finds Frontiers so good. I mean, obviously, that speaks to Satellite and Kawamori trying to balance the appeal between the old fans with the homage and the old songs and the new fans with the bit of Moe for Ranka and a bit of Tsundere for Cheryl and CG.
And
you forgot the boys' love.
Yeah, although...
Or maybe you didn't forget it.
I'd forgotten it. The fact that you constantly remember it is a point we could... We'll discuss it another time. But yeah, I think the balance of the show must have been really good. But look, let's move on. We will be getting to all the event stuff momentarily, and there is a lot to talk about. But first, quick run around the table to see what people have been watching. Now, Richard, put your VF-11B away. Thank you. And let me know what you've been watching. And there's one common thing I know we're both seeing. Let's leave that till the end.
Okay. So, yeah. There's one big movie that came out, which we'll talk about. But just on my own, I've been, for a project I've been working on, I've been kind of going back and watching stuff that I watched back in the day, back in the 80s. So recently I watched Wendaria, watched the first episode of Bubblegum Crisis, I watched Wicked City.
Oh, nice.
Both first with the dub and then in Japanese, the English dub and then in Japanese. So just a lot of stuff like that, and it's like a lot of times I won't even watch the whole thing, I'll just watch parts of it and just kind of like Ixer One, you know, I just watched Act One and I was kind of like, okay,
I see someone happy.
Adrian's happy about it.
I love Ixer One, especially the music. Oh, it'll put you to sleep.
So yeah, just a lot of stuff. Wendaria, I think, is the one that struck me the most.
And you know, Wendaria is one of those out of print titles which goes for a lot of money these days.
Right.
It's normally 8,000 yen, 10,000 yen to buy the DVD.
Okay. I thought it was worse than that. That's not too bad.
I mean, I know I've seen Crusher Joe go for like 1.5.
Oh, I must be spinning. I thought we were shaking.
No, we were.
We had Tremor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, we had
when
the big
one
the other
week.
Okay. Hmm.
Okay, so is there anything else, Richard?
Or that's it, really.
Okay. Adrian, what have you been watching?
Oh, let's see.
You've been watching more than usual.
Yeah, actually, I have. I'm just trying to think of what I've been watching. Obviously, we'll talk about that thing after when
we go that thing
down
we'll get to
roll call. Hold on. We're not just going to open the door.
I'm just going to go. Yeah. Alright.
Let's see. What have I been watching?
Why are you asking?
No, okay. I just started watching Nadeshiko.
Okay.
So I put that on. And because everyone says you must watch that animation, it is so pivotal to robot anime and the connection between the different generations of anime fans in Japan. And I'm up to the fifth episode, and I have to say they're right. Very interesting show. It's kind of like watching, it reminded me of an older anime, modernized. So, oh, no, it's like watching Haruhi in space so far. So it's somewhat interesting. The male characters are kind of taking the lead of the story up in the first half, so I'm watching that. I'm also reading... I just finished reading Genshiken, but the U.S. translated version, and that's a very, very good manga, especially if you've lived in Japan, worked in Akihabara, and have spent time with Otaku University students. It's pretty much true to life.
Is that the bulk of what you've been going over?
I think. Did I miss something?
I know I haven't caught you up on Yamato yet.
No, but I'm still one volume behind on Yamato.
Oh, we did go see a movie, though.
Animation?
No, not animation, but...
Oh, Iron Sky.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Live action movie, Iron Sky. I highly recommend it.
Finally made it out to Japan. Mind you, it's been out in Blu-ray in the US for a while, but it got a very limited screening here at two cinemas.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's one of those movies where you go in not thinking anything at all except for getting out of the rain or getting out of the heat, and you come out pleasantly surprised. And the fact that it was... We saw it the same week of the... elections in the States, it was perfect.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll jump in now. I mean, I finally finished Nadia, which I know I was about halfway through in the last cast.
Don't spoil it, because I'm still watching it.
Well, cover your ears for a moment. Because, you know, everyone warned me about the island part. Did you at least go up the island, where they're on the island?
Yeah. And that's...
And it
I'm
does...
Watching it, I'm watching it on in real time.
Right,
so they're going. They're at the point where the island... I think they've left the island now. So they're...
Okay. So they found the... what do you call them? They're in Africa. Oh, they're in, okay.
And there's a hunter.
Well, you're getting close to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the island thing did drag on. You got the feeling they were just killing, you know, time, trying to blow it out longer than it needed to be. Mm. But when you get to the very end, you might want to cover, this isn't that much of a spoiler, but it basically turns into Yamato. There you go, you can uncover your ears now. It's like, I was like, hey, when did Matsumoto Leiji come onto this show? And it resembles it to the point that in Evangelion, which we'll get to momentarily, there are a lot of gags that the fans are making comparing Evangelion Q to Nadia.
Really?
Because, I'll get into details in a moment, but there's a ship involved, of which Misato is the captain, but the helmsman is voiced by Aki Otsuka, who was the captain of the Nadia.
Yeah.
So in Nadia,
the captain
so
of the
ship, Nautilus.
Nautilus, Nadia. Yeah, right.
So they're calling Misato Nemosato. Like all the fans are like, hey, it's Nemosato.
Yeah, but the you know, it's all Anno Hideaki, right? So he does do a lot of things over and over.
You mean Otsuka mans up many, many things. Anything with Otsuka in
it. Well, Otsuka wasn't in Gunbuster, though, was he?
Not that I know of. Okay, good point, I suppose. But yeah, so I finished Nadia, and then, because basically I've been clearing out, trying to catch up on old series that are taking up a lot of bookshelf space. So I decided to try for something high definition for a change. I've got the Blu-rays of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And I started going through that. I'm up to about episode 30 at the moment.
We're all together now in the hood. Get a superst.
I thought your voice was gone. Make it go again, please. But yeah, I've been really impressed by Brotherhood. I never saw the original Full Metal Alchemist, but it looked way too Shonen Jump for me. I don't like Shonen Jump shows. I hate One Piece. I hate Naruto. But Brotherhood cuts a lot of the crap, a lot of the filler, from what I've heard, and just gets down to it. And there are a lot of messed up episodes. There are times where you just want to keep going to the next one because they know how to reach that cliffhanger ending really well. Now that I'm up to episode 30, it's slowed a bit, but I'm doing like just an episode a night. And the quality is great. The fight scenes... You know how normally you watch an animation and because they give the opening animation to a different studio, the fights or the battles in the opening look way better than in the show?
Micro 7.
Right. I find that actually in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, it's the other way around. The opening is like, they look too fast, too blurry. In the show itself, the fights are quick, they're gorgeously animated, they're really good. So I watched that, and then a friend of mine who I've been hanging out with recently, she's a huge Type Moon fan. So she owns the Blu-ray box sets for Fate Zero. Now, to put that in context, to buy both box sets of Fate Stay Zero at retail price, you're looking at about 8 man.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're about 3 or 4 man. So to put that in context,
it's not really that many episodes.
No, it's like 26 episodes.
Yeah.
So it's like 12 to 30 episodes for about 30,000 to 40,000 yen.
That just couldn't.
And she bought both box sets brand new. And the thing is, not that I necessarily needed them, but this is bizarre. They had English subs throughout the entire series because they did a limited run of it in the US at a similar price point. Like 1,000 copies only. No, they sold out in pre-orders.
Well, I guess if they do 1,000 copies only.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the exact number, but so they didn't have to do any work other than change the covers or put like a paper cover around it because they just had the subtitles on the disc. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, look, I mean, I've played one or two of the Fate games, the Fate Stay Night games. I'd heard the original anime was mediocre. I heard this was either a remake or an alternate universe or something. I didn't know what it was. It turns out it's a prequel. Yeah. You don't need any knowledge except for maybe in the final episode of what happens in the old one because you see where one of the characters comes from. It is way darker. All the fans that I've talked to have said it's a much better story than the original Fate. And it gets really messed up. I was really impressed with it. The animation was gorgeous. And because, you know... we've got two Rankers singing on screen, by the way, guys. Like two girls dressed up as Ranker. But no, I really recommend it. It's completely messed up. I mean, because the whole thing with Fate is that, you know, you get someone... who has a servant, and a servant is a spiritual embodiment of some great person in history. So, and Saber, who's always the cover, the poster girl for these things, you know, there have been various versions where people have thought she's Joan of Arc, but in this case, she's supposed to be Arthur Pendragon. And the thing being, the normal story, as far as I know of it, is that normally, you know, the guy who she's the servant for is a good guy, so he's getting her to fight for good, in this case, in what they call the Holy Grail. But in this case, the guy who's her master is powerful as all heck, and he's a son of a bitch. He's pretty much a terrorist, except his goal is to wipe out everyone participating in this battle, and he's participating it with her, so he'll use her, but then have snipers set up to take out everyone and things like that. It's really dark. But yeah, no, I liked it. It was good. So moving on, Renato.
I've been watching a lot of stuff that was on TV, including Nadia, as you mentioned. Also, I'm still continuing to watch Heidi.
Whoa.
Still continuing to watch...
still laugh.
How many episodes is that?
352
episodes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's just a year-long series. Still continuing to watch Maison Ikkoku. And the other day I bought a movie because it was quite cheap. Metropolis, directed by Rintaro, written by
gorgeously animated, not particularly well paced.
And of course based on the manga by Osamu Tezuka.
Not free paper for foreigners.
Not
the free paper for foreigners. Metropolis.
No, not the free paper for foreigners. In Tokyo, there is a magazine which is free. You can see it being distributed outside, like things like Tower Records
and English pubs.
And it's all in English. It's specifically for foreigners, called Metropolis. And actually, Tenjin was interviewed in one of those quite a while ago.
So
you know?
Is Patrick Galbraith. I saw him
interview. Are you saying with the Star Trek one?
Yeah. The new Star Trek movie was coming out.
Yeah, actually.
And he was interviewed. Tenjin-san was interviewed because...
That was written by Jamie. Jamie the manga.
Oh, really? Okay.
She got a gig writing for them. So
okay.
They wanted her to write about Star Trek. So...
So she wrote about
that. She couldn't find anybody...
Who cared about Star Trek
in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And I'd previously talked to Tenjin about Star Trek, so...
And then Tenjin said how popular it is in Japan?
Basically. It was not... He wasn't really interviewed. He was just one of maybe two people she talked to. And so she put him in the story.
Can we divert very briefly?
Yeah.
To talk about... Do you remember the Lego story? Jamie's Lego story?
Oh God. But go around, Rob.
All right, we'll come back to the Lego story. It's Macross related. So anyway, Nadia, Heidi...
Metropolis. I watched it with my wife. We were both like, okay, I guess it looks nice, but like, whatever. And I remember that I had actually seen it shortly after it came out, which was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I saw it at the
cinemas. I didn't remember anything about it.
I saw it at the cinemas in Australia.
Apart from the fact that I thought it was quite boring when I first saw it. But then I saw the DVD. This DVD set has the complete storyboard. Drawn by Rintaro. It has a booklet with lots of hanga, original genga in it.
Mm-hmm.
It has an extra DVD full of interviews with Otomo and Rintaro and all these people. It's got lots of different versions of like the opening scene and things like that. I think I got much more than what I paid for. I paid like 1,000 yen. It's supposed to be, I don't know, 18,000 or something crazy like that. So I'm okay with that. These days I only buy DVDs if they come with a lot of making of material, and this one is very, very, very well made, very nicely animated, and you know they put a lot of effort into it.
It's,
in terms of at least the production.
It's interesting you should say
CG
that.
Wasn't really as advanced as it is now. Back then it came out 2001 or 2002.
Yeah. So that whole really end impressive. Scene with the city collapsing and they had all the room. Well, yeah, I mean, the room that she was in, or
that's Otomo Kazuhiro. He wrote that, and therefore the city has to collapse.
But there's all the CG, like of the blocks coming out and stuff. I mean,
yeah. But even like the beginning, like when you see the city and all the cars passing through it, and right. all the people,
right?
The people weren't CG; they were all hand drawn individually, and the crowd scenes. I mean, it's just. So much effort to draw each and every.
Because I'm in a similar boat in that I normally go with Blu-ray these days, but if there's a DVD with some great extras,
yeah.
Recently, I picked up really cheap, like I think it was $15 each, the US Pat Labor box sets for the movies, which came with extra making discs.
Oh, okay.
Complete translated interview booklets. Yes. Like they used to retail for about $80 US, and they're down to about $15 a pop. And so I already own Pat Labor 1 and 2 on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, for $15 a pop, and this is probably the only fully translated Pat Labor 2 and 1 books that exist are in these box sets. So,
well, I have the Japanese releases of those. But even those are going quite cheap here in Japan. And of course, in Japan, they didn't include the movies with that. They released the extras and the movies separately. And they gouged you twice.
Right.
So I remember a lot of fans complaining about those prices in the US, but if you think about it, you're already paying half just because they decided to release everything separately back then.
Okay.
But yeah, those box sets are really, really nice, very well done. I have them too, not for Pat Labor 2 because Pat Labor 2, but well, I have the
I mentioned that because it's the only
I have DVD the TV, I've bought in a long TV time. And OVA archives and the movie archives as well, and they're very nice. Also, I've been watching on Blu-ray the original both Macross TV series, both of them, the original Macross TV show and the Macross 7.
Because
both,
those are the only two that exist.
Those are the only two that exist, and it's really, really amazing. Just to
this is where you jump in and defend Macross 2, Adrian.
Well, that's not a TV show.
Yeah,
I watched it on
TV. But on Hulu.
No, in Japan.
But it's really, really amazing the way that they've cleaned everything up. And so what especially are we talking about here? Which SDF1, first of all. So well, both series. Of them, it's really amazing
the way they've cleaned up. Well, start with the first series. Because last time series, we talked about, you guys had watched some extras and like an episode, two half episodes at my place.
Yeah, but that was your place.
With my properly set up system. But
okay, but
now what?
When I watched it on my system, I made out all these tiny, tiny details that, like, for example, Bansan was describing the Ojisama thing, right? But there's like one of those in almost every episode. And I don't know if everyone remembers the Cavaliers scene. Yamato just released a toy of
yeah.
the Cavaliers Valkyries, the dark navy
dark blue ones, yeah. They're in a hangar.
If you
right?
look, yeah, if you look at the scene in which they appear, one of the tail fins on one of them says for lease dial whatever this number.
Oh right.
So this space for rent or something like that. There's like millions of little handwritten details like that, which
Richard,
you know
don't
you can
look
see
on the screen.
Oh, Momoiro Clover is it?
Oh god, here we go. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So
okay. So that was.
I'm really glad that I
you pick up this. Now talk about 7 because 7's one I haven't picked up yet.
Well, the main thing about the original show though. Is that it comes with so much junk. It's got this reprint of
junk, huh?
The Perfect Memory book. It's got reprints of what was it called? Like the original storyboard of episode 1 and 27. It's got all sorts of stuff. I should note that it's missing two pages from the Perfect Memory book.
So it's
the
imperfect
cast interviews.
Memory.
Imperfect Memory, yeah.
I wonder why those were removed.
I don't know. It might have something to do with
my. This is purely aesthetic.
Yes.
But my problem with the box set, the limited box set,
is it's too big.
Is it's too big. That silly reprint of Perfect Memory, which you didn't really need, just blows it out into this bizarre size. And the way the discs are, they're in, you know, the disc covers are cardboard, right?
Yeah.
In the box. Whereas the regular box set, which is a normal Blu-ray box set size, the discs in there are in proper Blu-ray hard plastic covers, yeah. although you don't get the extras disc.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But, so on my shelf, and this is just me being a collector geek, you know, I've got Do You Remember Love, I've got Zero, I've got the front, all these same size boxes nicely, and I can't even fit the original
yeah,
Macross
you don't know
on
how
the shelf.
Yeah, me too.
It's annoying.
I don't know what to do about that.
It's, yeah, it's a little thing, but I'm kind of I'm surprised I didn't think of that. Like, yeah.
Well, anyway, the Macross 7 box set, I picked up the first one. The second one's out in a week. It looks good. It looks really good. But it's basically the same as the HD remaster DVD that came out about 5 years ago.
Okay.
The extras are... it was 10,000 yen off at Amazon, so a third of whatever the normal price should have been.
Right.
Which is good.
So 2,000 off, so you have for like basically
I don't remember if it's
20,000 yen or so.
Is it 20,000 yen or is it 29?
Recommended retail is close to 30,000.
Okay, well I paid 20,000 then.
Okay. It's about what I thought, yeah. But okay, I mean, but so extras
the extras is not that great. They don't really have anything new. They have a new booklet, which is not as impressive as the SDF TV show booklet because it doesn't have interviews. It's basically like a smaller compiled version of the Macross Chronicles section on Macross 7. It tells you about the type of planes that they fly and the types of characters that appear in the show. And you know all this already, right? Whereas the booklet that comes with the SDF Blu-ray has... it goes into background of the original plans for the Macross TV show, like the Genociders plan, the Mega Road plan. It goes into new interviews with Kawamori and Mikimoto and Machizaki, and also Ishiguro Noboru, who was his last interview, because I remember I met the guy who was going to go do the interview on the day of the same interview. Wow. So it's got so much new material, whereas this one really does not. And even the stuff that they try to pack it in with, like the band score, it's got the, you know, the score for it. Like, okay, great, I guess. But it also advertises the actual separately sold band score book, which has all the songs instead of this one, which only has 3 songs. So I don't know what they're trying to do there. What I really want to know is, what is in the content of the original DVD box sets? Because I don't have that one. The remastered box sets, because they have they have like what looks like a catalog or a pamphlet that was given out in world, in universe, at the Valkyrie Carnival that is in one of the episodes.
Oh, okay.
They also have I think reprints of tickets that they gave at Katsumi Park for Firebomber's first gig or something like that.
Oh, yep.
So that looks a lot more attractive than the package that you're getting here. On the other hand, of course, this is full high definition and it looks gorgeous. And also you have newly recorded
commentary tracks,
which are okay, I guess.
I didn't catch that last part.
They're okay, I guess.
Okay.
Who's on the commentary tracks?
Some of them are the voice actors. Some of them are Kawamori and Amino and Tsukihiro Tomita. It varies depending on the disc. Okay. It's about, you only get about one per disc.
Okay.
And actually, Gwen, that made me think I would love it if in the next edition of Macross Frontier, if they got Renato to do commentary for every episode of that,
they'd have to bleep everything out.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
No, you gotta have like a double team of him and Itano doing it.
Doesn't it suck? Yeah, it sucks. Doesn't it suck? This,
because he'd be the only one that could translate it properly.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move on. Finally, then, Bansan.
Hey.
Have you been watching anything recently?
I think slice of life anime, like Chunibyo. And
okay.
And of course Hyoka and Utapuri.
Okay.
Utapuri Prime Special. Mamoru Miyano was in the screen. He was played in Utapuri and he acted the new Macross movies, Macross games character Leon.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was so famous as Light Yagami in Death Note.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was also known as a singer, actor. Live fast and nasty. So impressed. And I've been watching is, I would say, I watched Hyokai, and now I'm watching Space Brothers now. And
Space Brothers?
Yeah.
And, oh, I'm watching that too, I forgot to mention.
And Nadia?
Not finished.
No, it goes on for quite a while.
Uchikyoda.
How many episodes? They haven't announced it, but it will go on for quite a while.
50, yeah. 60?
I don't know.
Wow.
And it's, I think we're past... We're past 40 now, right?
From April and about 35 or 40 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And Nadia, you're watching Nadia
on
TV.
And about 2 weeks ago, and in Nadia, Atlantis people were from M78 space crowd. How to say in English? I don't know. M78 from the same place of Ultraman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I watched. I also watched, of course, Evangelion Coup. And the first 6 minutes of Evangelion, Arnold's, this must be Arnold's joke, Area 88, Area 88, and Saturn's 5. Saturn's 5 is from the Apollo plant's rocket, is the name.
Right.
So many jokes from Arnold's, and I remember linked the picture and the Maxwell's word and Ichiro's name in the credit of
Evan. Let's talk about Evan, because that's something that, well, everyone except Renato has seen, because Renato is not cool.
I was going to see it. If you remember, just before the release, they were showing the movies on TV.
Right.
So I watched the first one, and then I set my video to record the second one, but there was some error. I don't know what it was. It came up and it said, there was an error in recording.
You should come over and watch it.
Yes, maybe I
So, Richard, you've seen it. Adrian, you've seen it. I've seen it. Bunsen, you've seen it. Evangelion Q, or 3.0, as many people call it. How do I put it succinctly? It's not what I was expecting.
It's not what anyone was expecting.
Okay. If you look at the title of the new Ava movie alone, You Cannot Redo, that served as a constant reminder to Gainax not to do the same thing.
Right.
And they pull it off.
Yeah.
Okay, as in the same story, the same flow? Or?
No, it's... I mean, the only... There's like a handful of things that are connected to what happened originally in the show, or in the manga. The rest is like 80% new.
What? Nine more.
Like or borrowed. Let's say borrowed. More like 80% borrowed. But it's like... I don't know. It's...
Well, one thing I found interesting, so with Evangelion, the first one, or the final version, 1.11, a lot of people didn't like it that much because it was, you know, 80% the remake, complete remake,
it was,
shot for shot, right? With 20% new stuff at the end. But they could at least compare it. They were like, oh, it's nearly all the same. 2.22, people were like, well, it's different, and... But there's enough similarities, so you can see, well, this time this is going to happen to Kaji, or this time Shinji's going to do this.
And where the fuck is Toji, bastards?
So we get to 3.0, no one's discussing a comparison.
Right.
Because we are now in 100% new territory. And it reminded me of Dark Knight Rises. Because at the end of, you know, the second Batman movie, of Dark Knight, you see him run off, and you're expecting the next movie to start with him running away from the police. But it starts years later. Similarly, and spoiler alert, We're going to be talking with spoilers for about 8 to 10 minutes. I will put timestamps in the show notes. Similarly, in EVA 3.0, it opens up not immediately after second or third impact was averted. It opens 14 years later. 14 years. No explanation at first. Well, very little explanation throughout the whole thing. That was a shock. I mean, yeah. Richard, how did you
take that? I have to say that for the first probably about half of the movie, I was baffled by what was going on. Now, of course, it doesn't help that my Japanese is not perfect. But it was kind of... It was baffling in a really good, exciting way. It's been... It's because one of the things I loved about Evangelion, the original series, was how surprising it was at every major story point. And although, I mean, I have to say that although it's like I'm on Macross World a lot, I'm on this Macross podcast, and Macross is very near and dear to my heart, Eva is probably the series that I feel closest to. So much so that I usually don't like discussing it. But at the end of the movie, I wasn't sure if I liked it or not. But I think that was just because it was so new and so different that it took a while for me to process. I really enjoyed it. But the beginning was... shocking.
Definitely agree. Now I've got to point out that it's visually amazing. It's really impressive. Starts off with this amazing fight in space with Mari being Mari and Asuka being bitchy, but
Mari always arriving
too late
to save,
and not really giving a crap one way or the other. But you see this new ship that Misato and... Now I've completely forgotten the name of her organization. Which is an anti-nerve organization. They've got this ship, which is where the Nadia comparisons come in, because it's got a lot of similarities to Nadia. But the way they play with the technology, for example, when the entire bridge goes into battle mode, it becomes one giant entry plug with like 8 people in the entry plug, which is... I was like, wow, this is amazing, you know. The power source, the core of it, is a Unit 01. Is an Evangelion. So as a result, it's this bizarre ship, and it's got anti-AT field guns and all this amazing tech. And when the movie opens, it's launching for the first time while they're being attacked by an angel. And they've just retrieved Shinji, which brings us to this point that 14 years have passed, but anyone who piloted an EVA unit suffers the curse of EVA, which means they remain... physically 14 years of age. So Asuka, no explanation of how she's alive or why she has one eye, but she's still 14 and very bitchy because she's actually 28. Mari, she's the same, but she hasn't changed. Shinji has been missing for 14 years and is 14 years old, but has no memory since Kaoru stopped him post credits in 2.22.
And I have to say that that was an interesting choice on their part to keep the EVA pilots young, just because it allowed them to make trailers for this movie that revealed absolutely nothing of what this movie was actually about.
Right, and that extends to the whole marketing campaign, because you know how Lawson's always does EVA merchandise when there's an EVA movie.
Right.
This time around, they've been using character portraits from the last two movies.
Right.
They haven't done anything with these characters on it because they don't need to.
And even the first 6 minutes,
yeah,
when
no
they
idea.
Showed that, it was just like,
right.
Oh,
there was nothing.
I should point out that the thing about the first 6 minutes, the reason why that was such a big thing is because they showed it on TV before the release of the movie.
Right.
The night before, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, it was a conscious decision
It was after 2.22, right? They played 2.22 on TV, then the 6 minutes.
Yes, so I heard. since.
I watched
that,
it.
They were advertising that for quite a while, so I knew they were going to do that, but I didn't. I wasn't able to record it.
It's more and more Euro Clovers thing.
Although I haven't seen the movie, it sounds like Anno is trying to do something similar, bring in similar themes that he was doing in Gunbuster, where the curse could be like the isolation that one feels when they're eternally young, right, while everyone around them. And everything around them is changing. I don't know, so I might look at it from that.
Well, I mean, I don't want to completely go into 100% detail of the plot and all that, but there's some... The problem is, if you look at the booklet that you buy in cinemas, and every movie in Japan has a pamphlet, booklet.
And this one came wrapped in a plastic bag that said, do not open this before seeing the movie.
Right, English for once.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at the booklet, it says it's part A. So the movie stops at this point where you're just thinking you might get to find out what the hell you've watched for the last 90 minutes, and it stops. I'm personally, my choice is I'm refusing to really pass judgment on what I think until I've seen the second half of the movie. And I think they have opportunity to make everything make sense. Whether they do that or not is going to be the important part.
Well, this one had, I mean... There was a lot of exposition, but not a whole lot of answers. And this was definitely a build-up to a finale. But, yeah, I don't really want to go into deep spoilers for it either. All I want to say about it is I never thought I would ever see a movie where a character putting on a shirt that is the wrong size for him was so emotionally devastating.
Right. Yes, that's a good point. And you know, the problem is nothing's explained. Misato is now 14 years older, so she's like, what was she, 29 originally, right?
Yeah, so now she's the same age as the voice actress.
Exactly. So there's not that disconnect in the voice now. She still looks great for her age. Ritsuko didn't fare anywhere near as well. She's got one hell of a forehead now.
I like her haircut, though.
Really?
Yeah.
And you've got, like, Torji's sister. Younger sister is now older than, you know, Shinji and the other pilots. You've got a whole bunch of new characters who've grown up in this world where, apparently, Third Impact still happened. Even though Kaoru stopped Shinji, it was triggered. And shit got blown up. And the idea behind... Like, basically... Everyone's really, really mean to him.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Misato and her group don't know it's Shinji. It could be another angel. That he's alive after being cocooned for 14 years. They don't know if that's really him. They don't know what's happened to Rei. They said they never... Even though he saved Rei in the last movie, they never recovered her. There's a Rei 3, a clone Rei with Gendor, who has now got Cyclops' visor on for some reason. All this stuff is just not explained yet, but it's a visual feast, and take it for what it is.
And one thing that I thought was very interesting about it was the tone, because it seemed like, okay, there are a whole lot of fans, at least Western fans, who loved the original Eva and hate the new movies.
Really?
Yeah. And also many people who didn't like the original show, but who love or really like the new movies. And they seem to give the same reason for it, that it's like, well, in the new movies, and I don't think this is true at all, but this is what they say, that Shinji really is manned up as opposed to the series. You know, he's more proactive. And that the movies are more... exciting, there's more action to them, whereas this movie is so bleak, and there is no comic relief anywhere in this movie.
What's just playing in the room next door?
Oh, hey, try again.
Try again, yep.
So, yeah, so it's...
Right.
It's... There is no fun in this movie anywhere.
I mean, I watched it twice just because the first time as always with a movie like this, you've got all these expectations, you're trying to work out what's happening. I found it way more enjoyable the second time, where I could just kick back, I knew it was coming, and just really think about what I was watching.
Yeah.
Bunsan, I have to ask, what did you think of the movie? It's a tough question.
Evangelion new movies, just like the old movies, different reboot, because it's not easy to understand, it's so complicated. And the Evangelion, you cannot
redo.
Before you can do not redo.
Advance.
The preview in the you cannot advance for you can for not for redo is completely a lie.
Yeah. None of
them. Right. Where is Kaji-san? Where is the kids of Ayanami kids?
Right.
And
you have the
only one thing they exceeded to the cue is Asuka's eye patch.
Right.
And I searched some Evangelion 2Q information about from Japanese otaks. 14 years means the last old Evangelion movie was released 14 years ago. And Shinji and the other guys, other Evangelion pilots, never get old. That implied is the never grown up guys, fans of Evangelion, you guys. Irony. Yeah, everybody is talking about.
I thought it was similar. Yeah, I thought the young characters as a comment on the fans, mm-hmm. and Mari. Like Mari is a bitch.
Yeah.
She's really cruel. She doesn't care about anything, but she talks really cute.
Yeah.
She looks cute. She has a short skirt. She has mega. She has glasses. So she is what the fans want.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a bitch.
Yeah. So she has a secret and never relieved.
Exactly. So she's. I think she is a comment from Ano saying, to the fans. Basically, you want a pandering girl. You want a girl with megane and cute. Here's your girl who's cute, and she's a terrible cat person.
But she's not like that in this one.
She speaks. She says nyan in every sentence.
Yeah, but she's not. She's not as crazy and psycho as she was in the previous.
But she still doesn't give a shit about anything. She's sitting there in the end battle, just casually. Well, I suppose I'll snipe this dude in the head. Whatever. Right. Boink. Oh yeah, Asuka, here's your battery, fool. Chucks the battery down. But anyways, so look,
Mary's VA is Maya Sakamoto. She sang the triangle song.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I'll be interested to see if they make any changes for the Blu-ray, like 3.0.
I'm sure they will. They have for all the other ones.
And then seeing the second half, and goodness knows how long it will be until we get the next one, because
It initially on the official EVA website it said coming in 2013. It doesn't say that anymore.
Exactly. So
which doesn't mean that it's not going to be out next
this
year.
This movie was running late as it is. I'm hoping, probably very illogically, that means they're already working a lot on the next one, so it comes out soonish.
The two movies were originally, admittedly, this is like 5 years ago now, originally supposed to be released together.
Right.
Then each one was going to be 45 minutes long and shown as a double feature, so essentially one movie. But yeah, it's definitely not that anymore.
Well,
so yeah, but when you're talking about the preview at the end of Ha 2.0, what I take from that now is that I think the movie that just came out, this is not the movie that they were planning on making 2 years ago.
Well, there were rumors there's a lot of problem with Kara and that they got into a bad relationship with Gainax. Right. I've never heard that verified, but I heard there's a lot of internal issues.
Mm-hmm. Is that the reason why they had the Ghibli thing in the beginning? That was interesting to
see. That was Arnold's. Arnold loves his kaiju stuff and Ultraman kind of stuff. So he did this short film.
That was for the
Exhibit.
Yeah, the exhibit at the Tokyo Museum of Modern Art. I went to see that. It is really fantastic.
The city was amazing.
But you only really understand how fantastic that can be if you watch the making of it as well. When they release that on DVD,
first of all, tell people what it is you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, you tell people, because
I didn't go to the exhibit. You did.
I know, but you. All right. There was an exhibit at the Tokyo Museum. What are you doing?
Use your spiritual.
Come on. Anima spiritual.
Oh no, Tokyo!
Oh Jesus Christ, my eardrums.
Wow. Right. So there was an exhibit that Anno Hideaki was the curator for of Japan's history with Tokusatsu. Tokusatsu is a special effects movies. Obviously, big fans over here. It had everything from Mighty Jack to Ultraman to Godzilla and Nihon Chinbotsu, which is Japan Sinks.
Which is currently underway.
Yes, as we speak. The main highlight, however, was a brand new tokusatsu movie directed by Anno Hideaki, which was called The God Warrior Appears in Tokyo.
It's a short.
10 minutes. And The God Warrior, it's narrated by Megumi Hashibara,
which was awesome. Yeah.
The God Warrior refers to the God Warriors from Nausicaa, the ones that bring about the end of the earth.
Right.
So these God Warriors are giant things that appear over Tokyo and destroy it in the space of 10 minutes. Now, the thing about this is that it's not done in CG in any way whatsoever, and yet when you're watching it, you think that this is CG, or that must be CG, or this must be CG, but it is very, very minimal. And I'm sure that a lot of the things that you're thinking of, Gwyn, you might think are CG.
Effects on the wings, things like that, glowing effects.
Yeah,
like
there are visual effects as far as debris and things, but everything is miniature.
Right.
So. A lot of it is filmed separately and added in post-production. So it's superimposed. But there is almost no CG. Even the glowing floating powder that's going through
the city.
That's filmed optically. And you think that a lot of it is CG, but when you actually look at the making, which is part of the rest of the exhibition, because the showing of the movie is in the middle of the exhibition, and then you go through some more rooms which tells you how they made it, you think, oh my god, this is so amazing. That they've used mirrors and smoke, literally, smoke and mirrors.
Well, in the they're seeing it on the big screen, they get the camera right in there in the miniature of the city, and it's really amazing, but basically it's this soliloquy by Hashibara about her discussion with this kid who she thought was her brother, younger brother. And she gradually thought he was not her brother or insane. And it kind of gets really bizarre. And in the middle of this conversation, this god warrior turns up floating directly above what, probably Shinjuku? And it's all these close-ups on him and the city and the town. And then he stands up and proceeds to blow everything up. And they show very detailed destruction of the town, which is kind of amazing. But after having waited for Eva for 2 years, a little off-putting to have it slapped in the front of the movie. It's like, come on, get on with it.
We
want to get to the movie. Second time around, I enjoyed it a lot more because I knew it was coming. But all right, well, look, guys, let's take a break and we'll get some more drinks. And then after the break, we've got, we've got the music culture, we've got FB7, we've got Firebomber 2012 live in concert in Tokyo and Osaka, we've got Megumi Nakajima's 5th anniversary, we've got the VF4G, hands-on, how to transform it, impressions, we've got Macross 30, gameplay revealed, plot, characters, etc., new mechs by Kawamori, a lot. So let's stock up on that coffee preferably with something special added to it. And we'll get back to you after this break.